Good day, everyone. Welcome back to the 23 podcast. Parker Kern here, along with Father Jeff Macbeth. Father, we survived the eclipse.
I think we
eclipsed it.
We totally eclipsed it.
We eclipsed the eclipse.
Yeah, total eclipse of the eclipse.
Total eclipse of the eclipse.
Yeah, that could be a thing.
That's great.
Yeah, it was cool to see.
Yeah.
It was cool to see. Yeah, might as well, right? That's right. You can watch something like that from your driveway. Like, why not?
No,
it was great.
Exactly.
So, no, it was good. Yeah, and even better, it's a beautiful day in general, which was, like, super 100%. Nice. Beautiful, yeah, I take Monday off, and so it was, like, nice to have, like, good weather. Yeah. You know, took a walk, you know, bust around, you know, put some patio furniture out, that kind of stuff.
Oh, got so, the smoker out?
No, not yet.
No? Okay.
Not yet. But, yeah, it was great.
That's awesome.
That was great.
So. Yeah, it was an interesting day. It was something that we had all been looking forward to, and I think when we finally all got to see it, I think for me personally, it surpassed my expectations.
Yeah, I guess I was kind of thinking it would look like what like the still pictures are with just the ring around, and
really
so when
doesn't.
You see all the flashing, you know, solar flares or whatever, yeah. It looks like it's alive, and it's like whoa.
Yeah,
like, yeah, that was pretty wild.
It was like even more vibrant than. What the, you know, the pictures, like you said,
yeah.
Could really encapsulate, and a lot of cool, like, time lapses. Like, Marissa had set her camera up and watched it, I mean, all for the totality, entirety,
mm-hmm.
Watched it come in and, you know, get pitch black, mm-hmm. And then go back. It was incredible to watch something like that, the whole sequence of it, because you see this stuff on the internet and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, you watch these videos and you hear people talk about it, but to just witness it in person and, you know, just a minute ago, I was talking to Sarah she was saying how cold it got.
Mm-hmm.
She was out by the lake and she said, you know, the temperature dropped like 10 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, since it was 70 degrees yesterday, I had shorts on and
right.
a t-shirt. And
yeah,
I was
same.
Like, man, this is a little, you know, cold out here all of a sudden. And then all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, boom, you're back.
Yeah.
Back to 75 and sunny. So.
Yeah, good experience.
Yeah,
good
and we experience. Tie that into Scripture and to God, and we just realize that there's so much out there that's beyond our expectations and that God provides for us. And I think certainly the connection between His creation and, you know, the experience that we had yesterday, you could argue that that happens all the time,
yeah.
And in looking at His creation and all He's done for us, so very cool.
Yeah, someone I saw on Facebook even reminded her of like the stone being rolled in front of, and then you know, away from the tomb.
Yeah,
you know, which is kind of
right.
a nice connection that I hadn't thought of, but yeah, it makes kind of perfect sense.
The Easter connection.
Yeah, right?
there's always a callback to something.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
As we sometimes say about the Scripture, there's always meaning to everything.
Yeah.
So. But otherwise, Father, you doing all right?
Yeah, I think so.
Good.
Yeah, I think so. It's a good time of year. It's,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, it's like we talked about, where the weather gets nicer, and you know, Easter's, you know, kind of course we're still in the Easter season, but the whole Holy mm-hmm. Week stuff, you know, is over, and you can appreciate what that was, and you're looking
oh, yeah.
forward, you know, to a little bit of you know, a little lull. But in the meantime, we have a lot of great stuff coming up.
Very busy time.
Yeah, we have confirmation this Sunday.
Mm-hmm. 57.
Yeah, which is great. So if you all could keep them in your prayers, special mass for them at 2:00 on Sunday.
Bishop coming?
A delegate. Bishop's delegate.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. And, of course, they're already thinking ahead to next year.
Oh, yeah.
Group, which we're, you know, excited about, you know, again, like with every group. And, of course, if you have a young person to be confirmed next year, be sure... As we hopefully saw in the bulletin, October 11th to 13th is the confirmation retreat.
Mm-hmm.
So mark it now. It's an important and really necessary and required part of the process, but one that really it's all for a reason, you know, because
sure.
it really makes it's really the highlight of the whole year, except getting the sacrament itself,
yeah.
of course.
Well, you have to understand what you're going to undergo.
Yeah, and having a good encounter with Jesus.
Yeah,
you know,
that's number one.
Really great. Yeah, and yeah, I mean, obviously, Damascus has a lot of really mm-hmm. meaningful things.
Yeah,
and so we're happy to go down there for that experience.
Cool.
Then in a couple of weeks, we have First Communion.
Yep.
So it's great. They have their retreat on the Saturday, so depending on when you're listening to this. We're hosting the Dragon Slayers retreat.
Whoa.
I know, real live fire breathing dragons.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So people last year raved about it. You know, I've always heard good things, and so we're hosting that for our parish and for St. Rose, and so it's all Perrysburg First Communicants all here, Roncalli Hall, to have an amazing morning. So it'll be great.
I would love to know the tie-in from dragons to communion, but.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe I'll have to come and
you should watch. Like channel your inner second grader.
Ah,
yeah.
I do that on a regular basis, but I'd really have to get in tune on
yeah. Saturday. I think what it is, and part of it's communion, part of it's too also reconciliation, you know, the other big sacrament received. And so the idea of slaying the dragons, like, you know, overcoming our sins, you know, kind of a thing, you know? So I think that's the tie in. But I think they dress up. You know,
do you dress up?
No, I'll just be wearing my normal drip that I do every day.
Oh, okay. But I didn't know if you're gonna go like full WWE on us and like come out with some like crazy, you know, be in costume and then like pull your mask off and be like, it's me.
I'm trying to remember that the wrestler from the 80s who was the dragon, Ricky the Kimono Dragon, something.
Yeah,
this is like going back, like, you know, like 35 years in my memory.
Yeah, but I'd have to ask my best friend Tyler.
He would know it.
He was a big WWE guy.
It was WWF back then.
That's right. World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just had WrestleMania this past weekend. So
that's a throwback.
I was watching.
Yeah, was Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant there?
Andre the Giant can't make it.
He's there in spirit.
He was there in spirit.
Gotcha.
Hulk, I don't think Hulk was there. The Rock was there, though. He was my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyway, Dragon Slayer. So Dr. John Wood, he's actually written a book called Ordinary Lives, Extraordinary Mission that's available through like Dynamic Catholic, actually.
Oh, cool.
So if you go like Dynamic Catholic and they have all these great books you can get, and his one of them, it's really good. And he lives in our diocese. He's like an eye doctor.
What?
But he and his family just wanted to do this ministry, you know, for the church, and so they've been putting on these Dragon Slayer retreats. I don't know, maybe even started in their own parish, and word got out, and they're in high demand. They do. I don't know when these kids all grow up, I don't know what's going to happen, but God bless him. Yeah, he's on parish missions. He's kind of like a local Catholic celebrity, actually.
That's insane.
So it's cool to have someone like that in our diocese, and we're glad he's bringing the fam here on Saturday for the Dragon Slayers.
Yeah, I can see. That will be a nice event. Okay.
Wow.
Wow. What a segue, right?
Yeah. It's a segue to something.
That's a segue to something. Yeah. Let's segue right
sometimes,
into...
Sometimes maybe like our banter should be eclipsed.
Ooh! So... Got him again.
You know.
Two for two.
Just sort of like we covered up for a couple minutes and then just back to normal.
Love it.
So.
And here we are.
Yeah.
Well, last time it was pizza.
Oh, yeah.
So now it's Eclipse and dragons and wrestlers.
Wow. We've already talked about quite a lot.
We've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, I think a lot of good stuff is happening today.
If you're still with us, we're going to get to the important part.
First of all, God bless you.
Yeah.
You know? And, we're glad. So, third Sunday of Easter, and so we continue in on our post-resurrection appearances from our Lord. So... This should sound kind of familiar. It's really kind of the same event, so to speak, that we heard last week from John, but this is from Luke. You know, for that Jesus' appearance on that Easter night. This is Luke 24:35-48. So earlier in Luke 24 is that great passage about the road to Emmaus. And Jesus, you know, walking with those two disciples and them recognizing him in the breaking of the bread. And so that's an important understanding, because otherwise, like, the first line of this gospel, like, doesn't make sense if you don't know, like, what came right before it.
Backstory,
for example.
Right.
Yep. So picking up on verse 35. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have. And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things.
Wow. What a mic drop.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot there. And certainly the idea of being a witness, mm-hmm. is part of how we even know and come to believe that Jesus really did rise from the dead, you know, is the witness of those who did encounter him,
yep.
as alive, and continue to share the word. And we see in this gospel too, you know, he's trying to help them, as it says, recognize he's not just like a ghost, yeah. you know, that it really is him, you know, rising. He's got the wounds. He's eaten, you know, baked fish, even though when you have a resurrected life, you don't really need to eat anymore.
You
but
really don't.
I think it was just to show them, right, that he was, this ghost don't need to, you know, I don't even know where a baked fish would go if a ghost tried to eat it. Just so
hang out in the air.
Yeah. It'd be like Slimer and Ghostbusters eating all those Cheetos or whatever. So... But although I'm like, well, it's Easter Sunday. Like, why is he eating fish? But, you know, that's just me.
I mean.
But that must be what they might have had left over from Friday or something.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, just another, of course, we got the peace be with you. You know, there's just all sorts of things, you know, going around here in this gospel. And even helping them to understand that everything that came before, you know, kind of led up to this moment,
yeah.
you know, in the Old Testament with, you know, Moses, you know, the Torah, the prophets, even the Psalms, a lot of which like don't make any sense if not for Jesus, you know, even though they were written long, long before. So he just fulfills everything that that God was sort of slowly, you know, unveiling, you know, for his people, for his big way of salvation.
Yeah, he, I guess he finished the prophecy.
Yeah.
I mean, he completed it. And then I think it was good for him to recap to them, because although they were incredulous with joy, they still were a bit perplexed mm-hmm. as to what was really going on. And again, to put yourself in that situation, how would you feel? I'd probably be pretty confused myself. So to think about the fact that he essentially went back, and the cool part is always that he starts off with peace be with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's his way of, it's almost like his, I wouldn't say like catchphrase or tagline, but it's like a way of like bringing everybody in.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, I'm filled with peace now. Although maybe they weren't mm-hmm. at the time, or maybe they were just trying to understand, but he was giving them that signal that this is me, I am here, and I'm here to tell you these things. And so, again, through that, I think they had obviously recognized him and had begun to, you know, the wheels in the brain were starting to churn as like, oh, this is a huge deal here, right? This isn't just a ghost, right? This is the man.
And even that word peace, you know, that shalom means more than just being peaceful. It's a wholeness. It's a fullness.
Peace filled,
kind of well being in like right. every way. And so even to say shalom, you know, be with you, is like, you know, every like good thing, like every well being in every way. You know, he looks to bring about, because it's one of those scenes that I read. Sometimes there's movies where you don't like understand everything, like you were talking about, as the movie goes on, and then the ending, like, oh, that's what all that meant.
Yep.
You know, it all kind of comes together. Or even, I was thinking of the Sixth Sense movie, if you ever saw that. And so
I haven't.
it's that sort of that famous, you know, I see dead people line from that one kid when he was little. And so with Bruce Willis. And so I think it was even like on the DVD, there was like a director's like explanation.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not smart enough to put all this together myself. Oh. And so even like the fact that he was talking to Bruce Willis and saying, I see dead people, and Bruce Willis' character is like trying to help him out.
Yeah.
You know? And then at the very end of the movie, or maybe not even that, or I had to have explained through the director, like, he's dead. So spoiler if you've never seen it.
Yeah.
You know, but like, oh, yeah, then you're like, everything else like makes like all this
it makes more sense
when you realize at the end, like, you know, what was really going on the whole time.
Sure.
And so, yeah, which is so great. And it lets us appreciate, I think, the Old Testament in a different way too, because sometimes we think, oh, it's just the Old Testament. But like...
Right, it's like the precursor.
Yeah, but all of that foreshadows, you know, Jesus and then is fulfilled by him, like you said, and... To go back and look at it, like it makes it even more like amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, all these little things that get they get fulfilled. You know, even like especially with the divine mercy, you know, last week with the water and blood flowing from his side.
Yep.
You know, Ezekiel 47 talked about this water flowing from the temple that brings life, you know, to wherever it goes. And then Jesus said, you know, he is the new temple.
Yeah.
You know, water flowed from him and brought life. And so it's, you know, it's like really cool.
Agreed. Yeah. And there's just so much, like you said earlier, there's so much there to really, you know, we could spend an hour on this unpacking. I think, again, it means for us that while we're looking back at this, right, and Father Herb had touched on this briefly in his homily on Easter in saying that, the resurrection would be a great story if it was just an event that happened 2,000 years ago and then that was it. Mm-hmm. But the key is that we're still part of that,
right.
And that action still saves us all.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, as we look at what's happened here, what he's been kind of recapping, I guess, for us and fulfilling the prophecy in doing it himself, you know, the salvific act of that, and then going ahead and sort of explaining that everything came together, it should be a moment for us to again bow down and worship the God who has saved all of us from ourselves and has come and still comes to save us. And
yeah, especially in the breaking of the bread in the Eucharist,
sure.
Which is why, you know, the whole context of Luke 24 there, you know, is so important too, that right, that same Jesus who's alive to his disciples is also alive to us,
yep.
You know, but just in a different way, hidden under a different form, that he's given us to know that he actually is with us, and we can continue, like you said, to live the resurrection, to live that we have a new life in Christ.
Yeah, and you could make a point as well in saying that as Christ had requested food, right? He feeds us with himself every week, and you know, you could argue that the representation of his body and blood in the Eucharist, right, is not the largest, right? And when we do consume it and we consume him, it might vanish, just as the fish, as you had mentioned earlier, kind of just vanished out of nowhere. And so though that is a small token, right, of his presence coming into us in its form,
right,
it still has such an impact on us. And as he was fed, because again, he didn't need to eat, like you said, we need to eat. We need to eat his body and his flesh and have it within us. But again, him doing that act was a great model for us at every time we go to Mass and every time we celebrate him.
Yeah, for sure. That was reminding me too of the Lord of the Rings with the elfin bread that, you know, you just took, you know, one bite and you'd be filled up all day.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. So Tolkien was Catholic, and of course the whole Lord of the Rings is a big, you know, analogy of Christ in the church. And so
the title makes it like the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. You know, so right, like you said, just the one piece, you know, seems like a little, but it's all we need.
That's a lot.
Because it's fully him. And yeah. this is another reason why it's just so great.
Yeah, that's interesting because when I would occasionally when I was younger, you know, you'd get a little hungry mm-hmm. when you're leading music at Mass, and so I would consume Jesus, and if I was like really hungry, and I could like barely like feel like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired, like I need to sit down or something. Immediately after, I would just be fine.
Nice.
And it was like that was him like coming in and giving me the nutrition and the wherewithal and stamina, right, to continue.
I love that.
And that seems kind of silly, but in that instance, I've felt it multiple times.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I just like show up to work starving.
Right.
But, you know, when you're, you know, I burn like 200 calories a Mass playing. Yeah. Did you know that?
I did not.
My Apple Watch tells me that because I do a lot of bouncing.
Oh, uh-huh.
My calves are like insane because I just bounce up and down the whole time. But be that as it may, right? It's an intensive, not a workout, but I'm you know, leading the music, singing, playing, right? And you probably the same with what your role is in the Mass as well, physically, right? So I often get hungry at the 11 a.m. especially and to take that nourishment and have it and be like, I just need like it's almost like in that instance I want it even more.
Yeah, I love
because I'm literally hungry.
Yeah,
not just spiritually hungry but physically hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that come into my body and to know that not only he is with me but he is sustaining me.
Yeah,
literally and figuratively. Pretty cool.
That's a great witness. Yeah, and a good reminder too of why, you know, we don't want to eat. Or why we're not supposed to eat anything right before communion. It's just like an hour before receiving communion, you know, just water and medicine. You know, in some ways to remind us of that hunger that we're meant to have.
Agreed.
That he satisfies in only the way he can.
Yep. And on that note, Father, I am very hungry. So let's say a prayer.
A prayer and grab a snack.
That sounds good to me.
All right. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Lord, we just give you praise for filling us with your life, and especially as we're listening to this, preparing for Mass, help us to enter into that with even more awareness that you who have ate and drank with your apostles after you rose also eat and drink with us in your risen life, and help us appreciate that gift more and more every time, and help us to overcome the obstacles from seeing you. We love you, God. We thank you for your love for us. Sustain us this day and each day in that love in the Holy Spirit and through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father.
Thank you, Parker. Thanks, everybody. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.